I'm Dr. V, and I have the privilege of giving the Word of God today. So let's just open in prayer for a minute. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we're here. Pray, Heavenly Father, you know, no one came to hear facts. We want to have an experience today. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Take the Word of God and let it penetrate our hearts deep, and so that we leave about action and about change. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So how's everybody doing? It's so funny because we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is what we've been going through. And I just so happened to get a passage that I think talks about distractions. And so I'll never preach on this again, because you know, when you're preaching on distractions, guess what happens? It was the worst morning, the busiest day. I had a real cute outfit to wear and some heels and stuff. And I'm like, it's too distracting. I got to suck here. I got to wear that. And my feet going to hurt. And so I have my grandbaby today. She's 19 months old. I got to be running. I got to teach Bible college tonight. So I walked out of the house without my notes, all this stuff going on, sitting in traffic, trying to do everything, because the devil was trying to distract me so that you couldn't get the Word of God. Amen? So let's just, Pastor just ended at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 24. So we're going to start reading at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 25. Okay? Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord, in his mercy, has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you those problems. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. And we're going to be concentrating today on verse 35. Which says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Okay? So, in the first verses, basically, he's saying that whatever state you're in, stay there because time is short. How many people think time is short? How many people think Jesus is going to return before we even know it? I mean, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the signs of the time say he may be coming back sooner than you think. Amen? So if the time is short, we need to be about Jesus. We need to be focusing on Jesus. And he's just saying, do everything you can to avoid distractions. Don't. And he says, this is not a word I had from God. He talks about restrictions. He said, not to place restrictions on you. And I love that because he's saying, because we place all these restrictions on ourselves. What we do is we think that we didn't really need Jesus to save us because we have to save ourselves. okay? So you get saved and you're like, okay, so I can't drink anymore, I can't cuss anymore, can't smoke anymore, can't sleep around anymore. Oh, I better go pray. I better volunteer over here. I better do this. I gotta smile. I gotta praise the Lord. Somebody might be looking. Is this showing too much? Is this showing too little? Is this too short? And we don't want to be a hypocrite. And so we just don't get saved. Like, yeah, it's too much, you know? But it's not about all the can'ts. It's not about all the don'ts. Because as long as we're trying to do it, as long as we're trying to change ourselves, we negate everything Jesus did on the cross. You got to surrender to him just like you are. And then let him change you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Bible says that we just have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. And that's how we get saved. He died on the cross and he rose again. That's how we get saved. Didn't tell you to do anything. These are restrictions that we put on ourselves, right? Now, all those good things to do, yes. But that can't be your law. He came so that the law was abolished. We could not follow the law, right? We can't do it. The only perfect man that walked on this earth was who? Jesus, not me, not you. I can't do it. You can't do it. We need God. And praise God that he's there, 24/7, and we can talk to him, we can ask for his help, and that he's given us the grace to do what in and of ourselves we aren't able to do. Amen? So lists make it about you, and lists mean you have to earn salvation, but it's not about you. You can't change you. Everybody say, I can't change me. I'm going to let God do it. You know, when I think about surrender, I think about my husband. He travels all the time, always in an airport, right? And as much as he travels, he always has that little hidden thing that he forgot in his pocket as he's going through the security line that he doesn't put on the conveyor belt. He's always in a hurry, and he always gets that ding, 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 and he's got to go back and surrender it all. He's the only person, you know, we are a credit card generation. You know, you just hold up your little thing and scan it. He got cash. He got change. He has stuff in his pockets. And he's always rushing to make the flight. He has it down to the 30 seconds before the door closes, and he's got them dimes in his pocket. Ding, ding, ding. You got to surrender all the hidden things, all the things you didn't think about, all the things you know are there, you trying to get through with that bottle of water or whatever. You got to surrender it all. Amen? So Paul, he was just telling them, this is what I think is best because time is so short. And it's not about making what I say law. Okay? So the verse I wanted to look at is Colossians 3:23 first, and it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And the title of this message is Serving God Without Distractions. And so we're going to do whatever we do as unto the Lord, not to men. And in looking up that heartily, how do you do whatever you do heartily, the English translation is two Greek words. One is a preposition, it means out of, and the other is psyche, which means life or soul. So we have to serve the Lord with all of our soul. Whatever we do, we're doing it with all of our soul. And I wanted to say, like, I'm always telling my kids, like, they'll make the bed or they'll mop the floor and they'll do a half job. So I looked up that so I didn't have to curse in the pulpit. Instead of saying a half way job, they said do it aimlessly, arbitrarily, in a slapdash kind of disorganized, helter-skelter way. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, if you're going to do it with excellence. Don't do a half job, right? And that's what he's saying. If you, whatever you do, you're doing it as unto God with your entire being, with everything that is within you. So that means you're not giving 50% in your marriage. You're giving 100%. Well, what if he only gives 10%? You're giving 100% because you're doing it as unto God. Ooh, how about in raising your kids? You know, You're not allowing the teachers to teach them the things of God. You're actually telling them and you're showing them by example the things of God in the life that you live. How about on your job? Oh, you finished that project, so you're going to play phone games on your phone or call somebody. You're going to take the pencils home or just borrow that roll of scotch tape that you need to wrap some presents. We got to do whatever we do as unto God with our whole soul. Even in cleaning our house, you know, even in cooking, even if you're not a cook and you're heating up something, heat it up with excellence. Take that frozen dinner out and do the best thing and make the plate look nice. Put little decorations on there, or learn how to cook. But do it heartily as unto the Lord. What happens a lot of times is let me tell you this, that there's a difference between being a volunteer and being a servant. You already know? All right, so a volunteer, if I'm volunteering to help at Women Rock, and I'm saying, okay, you guys need somebody to stuff gift bags or whatever. I got an hour before I got to pick up my granddaughter and run here and run there. I'll give them an hour, and I'm going to go stuff these bags, okay? And not a minute more, but I got an hour. I'll put that in my schedule. And it tends to push us toward pride. It's like, you know, that church I spent an hour. I am a executive in a Fortune 500 company. They bill me like a couple hundred dollars an hour, and I gave them an hour, and nobody even said thank you. You know, I didn't even get recognized for my time. You know, I did it, and I said goodbye, and they were like, okay, bye. It pushes you toward pride, okay? You know, there's a million other things I could have done, but I was there, and I did that, and they don't even appreciate me. That's not a servant's heart. A volunteer, that word isn't even in the Bible. Did you know that? We're to serve, okay? Serving God without distractions. Now, a servant says, what's the need? How can I help? What's the need? How can I help? We need to have a Chick-fil-A mentality. They tell us what to do, and we say, my pleasure. Amen? In 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, he says, now go, and God is talking to Saul. He says, now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Now look at verse 9. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and the goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lamb, everything, in fact, that appealed to them, and they destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. A half job, an arbitrary slapdash, helter-skelter, a careless, aimless kind of job, right? And so the things that we do in the natural, when we don't know God, we do them for a reason, okay? So usually it's for prestige or notoriety, right? We're like, I know when I was in school and I wanted to be the homecoming queen or the president or do whatever, you know, you do it so that you can have that status, right? That was the motivation behind it. You do things for money. Why do you get up at 3, 4, 5, 6 a.m. every day and go to work? Money. I like to eat. I want a roof over my head. That's my motivation to get me to sit in traffic, right? We do it for to get degrees behind our name. Why did I get all in debt to get a degree? Because I want a better job to do what I want to do, and I want money to buy the things that I want. And usually all these motives are selfish, right? And we do them because we feel like we need validation for people to say, oh, wow, you know, like, you're something. You did all that. Good job, girl, right? But we really don't need their validation, because the only person who matters is Jesus, you know. But we're really feeling ourselves sometimes. And it's like in Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, it says, you, Lucifer, have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. And you see, my phone is just buzzing and distracting me. I apologize. I had it from my Bible verse, but you see how the devil works? I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And we can't be like that, always thinking about I, because we have to have a servant's heart. Amen? Psalm 44:3, it says, they did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm and the blinding light from your face that helped them, for you loved them. You know, we don't do it ourselves. And a lot of times we think that we did it ourselves. We forget who gave us the power, who gave us the insight to do it. But we all want to serve the Lord with excellence. And the first thing is putting aside the humility, getting humility and putting aside the pride, okay? Not like Satan, I, but a servant's heart, okay? Now, we have to set priorities, because some things are necessities, but they also distract us from serving God. Necessities like washing clothes, cooking dinner, cleaning up your house, driving kids in traffic, mopping floors, cleaning bathrooms, boo. Have to be done, but we have to prioritize. And, you know, my schedule is such that I have to actually schedule time in for God, right? When you turn off the phone, you know, and you just make him a priority. You know, posting on social media takes time. And now you can't just post. You got to put the right music. You got to spend an hour looking for the right picture, the right angle, and you got to write the words in a cutesy way where I got to pull out my glasses to see what you wrote. Like, you know, but even posting, you know, that is trying to get validation by likes, you know, instead of realizing that, you know, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I am who he says I am. You know, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm victorious, you know, and the greater one is on the inside of me. We don't need the likes to validate us. So you have to make a choice about your time. Time is a precious commodity. How are you going to spend it when our number one goal is to serve the Lord heartily with our hearts and our souls? Amen? You know, when in archery, when you are shooting an arrow and you're trying to hit the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, that's called a sin. You have missed the mark, right? And as long as we don't focus, we will miss the mark in our life. We will sin. Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. You know, this morning I'm trying to get ready to do my message. Had a cute outfit, didn't work. Reached in the, put a spoon in the dishwasher, cut my hand on the knife that was sticking out. I'm like, the devil is a liar. Jump on the same freeway I always get on to take my son to school here, and sitting in traffic. Then I had to meet my son-in-law to pick up my grandbaby and put her in the thing, in the deal, and over there for them to watch her. And it's just distress. And I kept saying, oh, I'm going to get there early, and I'll look at my notes. That's what I was saying in my mind. Didn't happen. So this is definitely the Holy Spirit. But I'm just saying, that's how he works. Amen? Look at Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was what? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Distractions. So I have a list of some distractions. The first one that I think is on my list is our cell phone. You see how it just started buzzing on cue right up here? Three people have called me. I'm like, you know I'm preaching. Anyway, and you know the minute you say, even if you put on your calendar, "I'm about to pray or study the word of God," you're going to get a text that you have to deal with. You're going to get a phone call that you have to deal with. And you know how it distracts you when you go to sleep maybe thinking about the word with something on your heart. But then here you are up at 2 in the morning laughing at reels and sending them to people. Anybody? Am I the only one? That cell phone. How about the television? You know, I have certain shows that I like, and I go, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this. I wind up sitting there watching that one and that one after that. I did all the Chicago's, and now I'm on the FBI's. And I just was a couch potato, and I got nothing done. It was a big distraction keeping me from thinking about serving the Lord. Amen? How about money? It's a good thing, but the love of money is a bad thing. You know, when the rich ruler was asking Jesus in Mark 10, he said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God," because money is so distracting. How can I get more? What can I do to make some money? Let me get this little side job and that little side job. Let me do this. Let me do this. I got to pay the bills after all. And where is God in all that? He's the one that gives you the wealth. He gives you the health to get the wealth. Amen? Your boyfriend or husband, you know, they can't be your all. You know, I love that movie, Jerry Maguire, but he says, you know, "You complete me." No man can complete you. No woman can complete a man either for that. Only God can, right? So they can be distractions when you're trying to do, when you're afraid of losing them, when you're afraid that somebody else is going to attract their eye. And so you're trying to get your hair do-did and get your eyelashes on and whatever. And you're spending all your time getting your nails done and all this. Amen? Even your friends can be a distraction sometimes. I mean, your friends that you're afraid of losing them, you don't have many of them, and so you might compromise what you want to do for what they want to do. You don't really have the time to spend the day with them, and yet, because you wanted to get this done, you wanted to go over here and do this and read in the Word of God and all that. You know, Nehemiah was one who had friends that tried to distract him. He was trying to build a wall, and his friends were like, "You know, we need to have a meeting to do it this way and do that way." You know, he had, you know, prophecy about him trying to distract him. How about food? All right, everybody raise your hand. You know food is a distraction. We eat when we're happy. We eat when we're sad. We just like to eat. Any foodies in here? You know, there's emotional eating when you're stressed and worried and you're like, "Oh, how did I even eat that? I got a spoon and I actually ate all that ice cream for real." You know, and you look at the chips and you're like, "I didn't open these. They're like almost done now. Did I? Oh my gosh." And you're not even thinking about it and you're nibbling. That's why they give you all that popcorn at the movie. You're watching the movie like, right? Distracted eating, emotional eating, eating while you're driving. You know, when I had to drive, when my daughter was in college, I had to drive to Texas. Is a 19-hour drive. You know how? She's pitiful. We were gonna share the drive. She's good for an hour, and she's like, "Mom, I'm so tired. I'm falling asleep." And so I had to get over there, and I'm taking us all in. But I have sunflower seeds, and I'm just popping them, keeping my mouth, keeping my brain awake. right? It's distracting, and we do it all the time. Guilt and condemnation. You wouldn't think of this as a distraction, but if you're guilty or condemning yourself, you don't want to even serve God. You're like, am I even worthy to go before him, you know, after what I did? What kinds of things put it, even though the Bible says there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, what kinds of things put us in condemnation? How about cursing? You told yourself a million times, I'm going to clean up my potty mouth. And somebody does something, you're like, dag blabbit. How about sexual sin? Fornication, adultery, pornography, masturbation. After it's over, you're like, can't believe I did it again. I thought I was free. You can't free yourself, but when you totally surrender your heart, God will help you with his grace. Amen? Getting high or drunk. You know, I was clean, I was doing good until I wasn't. Outbursts of anger. You know, if they wouldn't keep making me so mad, then I wouldn't have to go off on them. It's their fault anyway. Worry. You can't concentrate on the truth of what the Word of God says because you're so worried about the possibilities. I heard this little quote, distraction. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but never gets you anywhere. It steals our joy. It steals our peace. Look at Matthew 6:31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. How about fear? Fear keeps us from stepping out in faith. You can't have faith and fear together. They can't work together, right? We're either in faith or we're in fear. But we follow a bunch of people that were in fear, like Elijah. Even after he had killed 450 prophets of Baal, he was running afraid, hiding in a cave, getting fed by ravens and stuff, right? How about Moses? He was scared to speak out to Pharaoh because he had that stammer, the stuttering, and he's like, can you let somebody else do it, please, right? Jonah, he got so prideful and angry, he's scared to go to Nineveh, and Abraham had his wife lie, saying he was his sister. What a wimp, right? Joseph was afraid to take Mary for his wife until the angel or God spoke to him and said, you know, marry Mary. And Esther, you know, she's like, I can't approach the king. If he hasn't called me, he's going to like, right? So fear, you know, we got to stand on the word of God and do the things that might make us a little uncomfortable, you know, and we just have to do it. And then one that a lot of us don't think of as being a distraction is busyness. You know, we pride ourselves as women as being multitaskers. You know, we got a baby on the hip, and we got the pot on the stove, we're stirring, we got our phone to our ear, and we're just doing it all, right? Paying the bills, shopping, doing it all. But actually, when you do everything just okay, you don't do anything with excellence. Jim Collins, he says, good is the enemy of great. Robin Sharma, don't confuse activity with productivity. Many people are simply busy being busy. What happens is we get distracted by good things and we don't have time to actually be with God. We're doing things for God, but we're not serving God. Amen? Being a people pleaser. We read that verse where Saul was like, obeying is better than his sacrifice because he kept all the good and he didn't kill what God told him to kill, right? He was afraid of the people. He wanted to be a people pleaser. Galatians 1:10 says, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Just a little tidbit I learned that if the people they found that are so likely to care about what others think of them usually have low self-esteem and have grown up without emotional support. I'm just saying. Think about it. You know, people pleasers are like Aaron. Moses goes up on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments. The people talk him into getting all the gold and making a golden calf. People pleasing. Martha, trying to please people, missing the good point, what Jesus was saying. So here's my message to people pleasers. You are not required to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. Don't you like that? I thought that was a good one. You are not required to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. And I love that because I do that. Anybody else in here guilty? You know, I hurt myself sometimes in doing the things that I need to do in serving God and doing it because I do for my kids, I do for my friends, and it really hinders me because sometimes Pam knows she has trouble saying no. I know. I was going like this and I said, and she has. All right. So how many people think that if you're trying to follow God, if you're trying to heartily do everything as unto the Lord, if you're trying to have a servant's heart, that you have to be able to hear God? Amen? And how many people think, I just gave 13 things that are distractions from hearing the voice of God? There's probably, would you say, hundreds and hundreds of things I could add to the list. I just gave you the top ones on my in my thoughts that hinder us from hearing totally what God is saying. So I put some papers on your table. I want everybody to get a piece of paper and something to write with. And if my helpers can come up, I think you have microphones right here. Hurry up, helpers. Okay, so what you're going to do is I'm going to be like the voice of God, and I'm going to tell you what to draw on your paper, okay? And I'm going to, as I touch these ladies, they're going to be telling you something else. Can you hear the voice of God? And let's see what your paper looks like, okay? All right, so I want you to start by drawing a square in the center of the page.
Finely chopped, fresh, flat leaf parsley.
And then a large pot, cooked half dozen, according to inches.
The average person makes over 35 dozen sausages tapeworm.
That's an average of 1,600 bacon in a 12-inch
Thank you, ladies.
That shapes the course of your day.
What's on your paper? You got the square? So even just a, I don't know what that means. Oh, okay, so don't draw it yet, because I want them to try again to add, but I'm just gonna have two distractions.
Just you and you,
okay? So let's go again.
Finely chopped, fresh, flat
draw
leaf parsley, and a large bowl of the page.
Cook
pasta
draw
according to
circle.
Instructions.
In the upper right corner of the page.
Keep warm.
Even one or two distractions makes it difficult to hear. So let's see how your paper is supposed to look. Thank you, ladies. You can have a seat. So you were supposed to draw a square in the center of the page and draw a circle in the upper right corner of the page and draw a line connecting the circle to the upper right corner of the square and draw a triangle touching the lower left corner of the square. And go back to the circle and make it a happy face. Is that how your paper looked? You weren't able to hear the voice of God? So I think that, you know, object lessons bring the point home. That when you, where'd she go? You weren't supposed to go down there. Okay. So when everybody is talking and I'm trying to give you directions, if I'm the voice of God, what do you need to do to hear the voice of God? No. Come on. This is what you need to do to hear the voice of God. I can whisper in her ear. Draw the square, draw the circle. She needs to walk with me. She needs to be with me. She needs to recognize my voice so that wherever she goes and there's other voices, she knows the voice of God. Amen? Thank you. Draw unto me and he'll draw unto him and he'll draw unto you. You got to be right there with him to hear his voice. Because it's just too hard to get directions. Lord, should I take this job? Should I do this? Should I marry this man? Should I do this? You know, all these things you cannot hear if you're not right there with him. If you don't know him for yourself. If you don't recognize his voice. Amen? I read this little story that helped me to remember this. It says, a farmer's guest waited for the farmer to arrive from the fields. The farmer was calm and not out of breath, but his dog was panting. The guest says, your fields must be very far away, seeing how tired your dog appears. The farmer smiled and explained, no, the fields are nearby, but my dog's exhaustion is not a result of the distance. While both my dog and I traveled the same path, we had vastly different journeys. I walked straight. I walked unwavering. I was focused on my destination. But my little companion, because of habit, succumbed to the distractions along the way. So you can either be steadfast, heading where you're supposed to be heading, or you can be distracted, you know. So how do we serve Jesus with excellence? You know, firstly, our perfect example is Jesus. You know, he washed the disciples' feet in complete transparency. You know, grab a towel and ask, what is the mission and how can I help? My pleasure. A servant's heart. What else did he do? He fed the crowds of people. You know, see the need and help to fulfill the need. He healed afflictions. You know, he didn't judge the people that were hurting. He just healed them. That means he had to stop taking time out of his schedule to see what the need was. You know, we walk by the need all day long, right? Because we don't want to stop. We have an agenda. And Jesus gave people a message of hope, salvation, and then he was crucified for sin that wasn't even his own. So we can't do things to get brownie points or to get recognition. We have to do it with a servant's heart, with the right attitude. Amen? I went to a conference, and the girl gave an example that I'm not going to forget for a while, and I want to share it with you. She was talking about how she was, obviously she's younger than me, because her favorite movie, she said when she was young, was Little Mermaid. I'm like, how old are you? I do that for my grandkids, but anyway. So she loved this song that Ariel would sing, and she grew up singing it and all this, and she said she was on YouTube, and she saw the original song and the original singer of this with the creator of The Little Mermaid. And so the girl sang this song, and it was beautiful, but the creator wanted it done a little bit differently, and so he made them, like, black out the studio walls so it could feel like she's in a cave, and that so she can do it with more emotion of what he was thinking. And she said she thought it was excellent, and when she read the comments underneath, she got, like, this righteous indignation because people were saying, she has a gorgeous voice. She sang the song with excellence. How dare he try to change the song from the way she sang it? You know, how narcissistic and egotistical he is just because he wrote it to try to get her to sing it a certain way when she did a great job the first time. And she says, do you know who he thinks he is? He thinks he's the creator. He thinks he made the whole script and he wrote that song, and he wants it sung the way he wants it sung. Guess who that reminds us of? God. It's not how we want to do it. It's how does he want it done? That's the heart of a servant. Amen? We need to serve like a soldier serves in his commanding officer in the army. Yes, sir. We need to serve like a slave serves a master. No questions, no hidden agendas. You know, sometimes we go to serve at church and maybe you're at a, you haven't been at the Rock and you come in and they're asking you to do something. And you're like, well, at my old church, it was a better way because, you know, they are just wasting time. They could just do it this way. And you want to just suggest that they just do it this way because there is just not good the way they're doing it. And they don't want to listen. And now you got attitude, like, you know, I told them the best way to do it, and they don't want to change, and I'll do it their way, but it's not the best way. You know, it's the way you're coming up under a ministry. You're coming up under a pastor. If you don't like the way it's done, this is not the church. Amen? You go find a church that does it your way until they don't do something your way. And then you go find a church that does it your way until they don't do something your way. Amen? Oh, that was for extra. That wasn't even down here. So what does the Bible say about serving? In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. So what are we to do? We're supposed to teach others to obey. How do we teach them? But that we know the word ourselves, that we live the word. We don't want to be hypocrites like, do as I say, not as I do. Amen? Acts 13:47 says, this is what the Lord commands of us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So we're supposed to be shining our light with our good works so that our Heavenly Father gets the glory. Let your light so shine before men. Right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to, the best way to serve God is to live our lives with excellence. With the joy of the Lord in our heart and a smile on our faces, with our eyes open so we can see where there's a need, and then with sacrifice, the three S's, smile, see, and sacrifice. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So it might cause some fear. It might cause some anxiety. But we actually can't rely on just the pastors to tell people about Jesus. No matter how they think about us, we can't be people pleasers. We got to speak the truth in love. Now, we don't have to beat somebody over the head with the Bible, right? But we can show them how we act. I'm going through the same thing that you're going through, but I still have a joy in my heart and peace in my heart despite that. And you're falling apart going, getting, you know, and there's nothing wrong with getting medication or whatever, but God's grace has given me the ability to stand in the midst of this storm. And you're just trying to stand, you know, but we have a Savior. We have a counselor. We have someone who brings us peace living inside of us. And you need him too. Amen. John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And sometimes to serve God and not get weary is not too easy. You know, people can be mean and they can be dismissive. People can be abrupt depending on the kind of day they've had. And if you take it all personally, you will have your feelings hurt. But they did all that to Jesus. You know, they mocked him. They lied on him. I would always say, at my age, I'm over what people think. Not true. Just the other day, somebody said, they were saying about me, they were like, oh, she's not my cup of tea. And I was like, well, I am not your cup of tea. You know, and I mean, they were saying this behind my back, but somebody told me. But anyway, I thought I was over it, and I thought I'm good, and I was just like, you know, you don't have to do anything to some people, and you're just not their cup of tea, right? It's okay. In fact, I'd rather you tell me that I'm not your cup of tea than smile in my face and tell other people you're not, that I'm not your cup of tea, and act like I'm your cup of tea or whatever. How did God do everything that he had to do in the midst of being mocked and hurt and beaten and lied on and betrayed by his friends? How did he do it for the joy that was set before him? So it's our perspective of how we look at things, okay? We have to do like Jesus. You know, if some things, if we don't have the right motive, we'll quit. So how many people have joined a gym and started off gung-ho, joined Pilates, and now you haven't been for a while? Just a while. I'm the only one. You guys are not. Because you start off with that fervency, but if you don't have the right motive, if you don't have the right thing driving you, then you're going to stop. Can I get amen? Amen. You know, you're going to grow weary if you don't have the right motive, okay? Because you have to keep the right perspective. So listen to this little story. A monk asked his master if he could go to a quiet, peaceful monastery because there were too many toxic people around him. He told the master, you know, some of these monks, they just talk too much politics. And some are always talking negatively about me. And there are others who just gossip all day long. Can I please go to a peaceful, quiet monastery? And the master said, if you can take this tablespoon of water, and if you can walk all through the temple and not spill any of this water, I will give you your request. I will send you to a peaceful, quiet monastery. So the monk, he started out with his spoon of water. He walked through every room. He walked through all the grounds. And he comes back to the master with his full tablespoon of water. And he said, I did it, master. Can I please go now? And the master says, yes, but can I ask you a question? When you were walking with your spoon, were there still the monks talking about politics? And when you were walking with your spoon, were people still talking negatively about you? And when you were walking carrying the spoon, were there those that were still gossiping all day long? And the monk said, well, yes, I think so, but I didn't notice them because I was so focused on not spilling any of my water. It's your focus that matters, okay? Nothing had changed in his circumstances, because people are going to be people, okay? Things are going to happen. To those of us who know the Lord, to those of us who don't know the Lord, life happens. But your focus, the thing that's going to keep you from not growing weary as you serve God, is what's going to matter. And it is that you're pleasing him. He's your commanding officer. You're doing what he's told you to do. You're doing it his way, and you're giving him the glory. You're fulfilling the great commission that he's told us to do, and you're doing it with joy. So we need to wake up in the morning and say, you know, this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm so glad I was able to wake up in my right mind, you know, that I don't have to have a hoist to get me out of bed, that I can go to the bathroom and take care of my business on my own, that I don't have to have anybody to bathe me and put on a diaper on me, and that both arms work and both legs work, and that I got some hair to comb and some teeth to brush. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. You know, the little things is what we have to start getting joy from, because it didn't have to be that way. You know, I'm a physician by trade, and I see people who can't do any of these things. You know, we have when I do a history, there's one section on mental illness and suicide potential. And the majority of the people I see are older. But one of the questions, and it breaks my heart, one of the questions is, have you ever wanted to go to sleep and not wake up? Have you ever wished you were dead? And, you know, you would think everybody would be like, no. Like, yeah, no, I want to live. And they say, yes. Yes. And so even though I'm doing medicine and I can't talk to them about Jesus, I do talk to them. You know, like, you know, why is that? And it's because they can't get up and do this and go to bathroom on their own and shower. And they remember who they used to be, you know, and it's hard for them. So we got to come into his presence with singing and just understand the holiness and the sovereignty of God and how we are giving him the glory, and be humble about it, realizing that everything that you're able to do, every job that you have, everything that you undertake, it's because of him, not because of you. You know, with God on your side, you're going to be victorious. It may not happen in your timing, but you're going to be victorious. He calls you friend. Amen. And it's because of his suffering, because of his pain, that you're able to do the things that you do. So you have to realize that the best way to serve God is not with restrictions, not being distracted by whatever comes your way, but just by living life and loving people. Smile, see, and sacrifice. The last verse is in Matthew 25, where he talks about he is going to separate the people just like into sheep and goats. And the sheep are going to be on the right, and they're heading for eternal life. The goats are going to be on the left, and they're heading for eternal punishment. What's the difference between the sheep and the goat? Those who served. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was sick, you looked after me. When I was in prison, you visited me. You're going on the right, the sheep. But Lord, we never did anything. We never did these things. You're a goat. Eternal damnation, hell, versus eternal life. You know, it's time. I was listening to a song on the way in, and it's called, what's the song? Never Bow. And at the end of the song, it says, this is where I stand, drawing a line in the sand. I'm on the Lord's side. This is where I stand, line in the sand. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen? Who is ready to draw a line in the sand and say, no more? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve him with all of my heart, all of my being, all of my soul. I'm not going to be distracted in things I used to be into, my past or whatever. I'm not going to be condemned about the things I used to do because now I'm a new creature in Christ. You know, we all would love for everybody in here to be headed for heaven. But not everybody is going to go to heaven. The Bible says you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, and then you shall be saved. You know, it's not based on how you grew up. You know, my parents were saved. My cousins and them, they all go to church, and I go to church sometimes. That's not what it's about. It's about what have you done? Because we're all going to stand before God on our own, by ourselves, and we're going to be accountable for the life that we've lived. Have we made him Lord and Savior of our lives? That's the question. And today, if you have not done that, if you have never said yes to God, or you said yes, but now you want to commit because you haven't done it, it wasn't truly in your heart, then I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life so that your life is never going to be the same. You've been trying to face the storms of life, the winds of life, the rain that comes down, and you've been trying to do it all on your own. You've been trying to change yourself by yourself when you need God. You need him now, not when you're all cleaned up, not when it's all fixed. You need him now, whether you're smoking or sleeping around or you're snorting this or snorting that and doing whatever, you need him now. He's the one that's going to take you out of that mess and fix it. And give us a year, and I bet you can testify as to his goodness, as to his grace, as to his faithfulness, as to his mercy. And you'll love him as much as we have. And we all were there at one time. Nobody came to him all perfect. There was only one perfect man that walked on this earth, and he was all man, and he was all God, and his name is Jesus. So on the count of three, if you have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and today you want to make that decision, you want to draw a line in the sand and choose God, be on his side, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to, that wasn't very loud. Okay, I'm going to hit this, and I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand. If you want to change your life today and serve Jesus. So we have a whole room full of believers, and we have a lot of women that have to go out to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the San Bernardino and Riverside and the Inland Empire and tell people about Jesus. Amen? I hope you guys got something from the Word.
Praise God. That was so good, Dr. Yee. So we need to focus, right? No distractions. Let's focus on what God is asking us to do and be obedient. Live life and love people. How many of you want to love people to life? Amen. Get out of our comfort zone, right? It's not all just about us. But look around and love people to life. Be that light and that example. Thank you so much, Dr. V. That was so good.